This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. First off, we have an apology. We weren't able to catch up with Adam Parrish. And guess what? He's apologising.
It's my fault.
Okay, but he's playing in a tournament in Hawaii, and he's trying to give us some time. I've had a look, Barry, and the timeline isn't so bad. 23 hours behind us, so we should be able to marry up a good time to talk.
Hey, what's the Bridge Zone budget looking like? Is it healthy at the moment? What about if we go to Hawaii and meet him there? What do you think?
I don't know. Will you be able to get back in time to go to Gold Coast? I don't think you can. Shall I slip Alan Morris an email, shall I?
Send Chairman Morris an email and say we'd like a trip to Hawaii. It's all on business. Yeah, we'd like business class seat to Hawaii.
I don't even think we'd be able to go into the freight or the cargo.
I don't think they'd probably send us on a cattle truck from the Frankton sale yards to Auckland.
That'll be right. Well, I don't think we can do that, Barry, because I will think that you will, like I mentioned, miss your commitments that you've got in Gold Coast next week.
Indeed, yep.
Anyway, yep. This boy's been toiling it hard over anniversary weekend at Tauranga. Do you want to do results or do you want to do gossip?
I was just going to quickly tell you how we went. We went over on Saturday night and spent the night with our lovely host, Kate Terry. Stayed there and had a good night. Got up in the morning, headed off to play the qualifying rounds of the team. 6-14 board matches, I think they were. Won the first match easily. Won the second match easily. Won the third match easily. Fourth match easy. Fifth match, you believe this, we're averaging about 18 VPs out of 20, would you believe, after five rounds.
Really?
That far ahead that even if we got zero in the last match, we were still going to qualify second.
Wow.
Anyway, untouchable. It's an easy game, and you're thinking, what can you do? This is brilliant, you know? But then we played the last match, and we got beaten 20-0. So there we were, we qualified second. So we went home, had another nice night at Kate's place, and then headed off the next day. Couldn't do a thing right. In three matches, got absolutely smashed in all of them, and ended up with a total of 10 VPs for the day. For three matches, so I'm in a deep depression after that. But anyway,
it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Paul, Jenny, pulling your hair out.
So Sunday we were untouchable. Monday nobody wanted to touch us.
That's a bloody hopeless game.
I'm going to have a talk when we talk to Adam Parrish. I'm going to ask him how could that be? What did I do wrong? I think I had roast pork for dinner on Sunday night. Do you think that could be it?
No. Sunday roast, it's a Kiwi thing. It's all good. Maybe you had too much crackle.
It's just under 90 VPs from five matches. The next day we have three matches and we get 10. A total of 10.
Oh,
it was ugly.
I hope Jenny was giving you a good poke in the side saying, pull your socks up, Barry.
We were both thinking, oh, my God. If Zia was there, he'd have said you're in whatever the zone is where you can't, you shouldn't have got out of bed.
Heat one.
We should have gone home after we'd qualified at the top of the tree there and not gone back. That's what we should have done.
You would think, oh, look at all these A points that I'm getting.
So four teams qualified for the final. The good news was we couldn't drop any further than fourth. Blair and Liz Fisher playing with Sam and Joe Simpson, who struggled all day long and really looked like they weren't going to make the final. They had a massive win in the last round to just sneak into the final. And then they played the next day, couldn't get anything wrong, and then proceeded to win the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness. They did polar opposites to you.
Yeah, they were. They were polar opposites to us, indeed.
The young guns, though, they sort of kept their stride there, didn't they?
They struggled to get into the final too. In fact, they only just made it. Neither of them were in a qualifying position going into the last round. But the teams that were lying third and fourth, that was the Pan team and the Burrows team, they were third and fourth, so in qualifying positions. Yep. They battled it out and drew 10-all. So then these two teams that had big wins from down in the field got up and snuck in ahead of them, and they ended up playing in the plate. It's very tough. So anyway, the team that you're talking about came in second, Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin and Kevin Hu, Zachary Yan and Jack James. In the plate, was the Burrows team. The Burrows team, Russell Wilson and Gary Chen, Wayne Burrows and Claire Mao. So we missed out the pairs from Saturday, where neither of us were there, obviously. That was...
won by my friend.
I don't think they'll mind me saying, it was probably a little bit of an upset. A Mount Maunganui pair, Pamela Pedersen and Alan Parks. He's moved over to there from Hamilton. So just snuck home. In fact, when the results came out, Ken and Kathy Yule had won it, but there was a scoring correction or an error or something, and they'd won it by like a decimal point. Anyway, when the dust settled, Pamela Pedersen and Alan Parks from Mount Maunganui came out on top from Ken and Kathy Yule from Matamata and Sam and Joe Simpson from Tauranga.
Okay, well, I've got the restricted open pairs results here. My friend Kevin Birch and Pam Brown. Kevin's from Franklin and Pam Brown is from Mount Albert. They won over Roger Wilkinson and Derek Bartos, both from Auckland. And third equal, Mike Newton and Graham Young from Tauranga and Carol Beasley and Aaron Starr from Mount Albert and Papatoetoe.
And the consolation pairs also played today. We're recording this Monday night, was won by a Cambridge pair, Herman Wan and Michael Neils. I know that Michael Neils made the speech and said something like, Herman had taught him a lot today, and if he got to play with him again, he'd probably teach him a lot more. Anyway, so they came out on top from Jenny Elgar and Tom Henwood from Whakatane.
Oh, right. Pretty strong field this year, Barry.
So I think they would have been happy. The numbers in the pairs, not so good. Only 12 tables in the open, but 26 tables in the teams was great.
And how many in that is actually trialing for the mixed pairs? So you and Jenny, the Fishers, the Simpsons, Mike Weir and Pam Livingston, Tim Pan and Lizandra Singh. Who else?
I think you've probably got most of them there. Well, we're bound to have missed somebody out. If we have and we've made a mistake, I'm going to say that it was your fault.
Of course you would. But anyway.
Good weekend of bridge. So there was another fairly major event, and that was the Robin Young teams. The
what
winners
was that
of
played?
The teams. That was Marlborough, top of the South Island somewhere. It looks like there were seven rounds. The winner was the Alabaster team. There's some more mixed pairs for you. Alabaster and Graham Tufnell, Fuchsia Wen and Ian Berrington. Seeing as you're taking such a great interest in that, I think there was another, the fourth and fifth were more mixed pairs. The Grant team and the Davies team. Second was Rochelle Pelkman's team, which was Rochelle and Murray Wood, and then Steph and Tom Jacob. And third, and you'll be pleased to hear this, your old buddy Wayne Smith. He came in third with Sheila Beggs, Carol Minchin, and Sally Moore.
Good one. No man. Pleased to hear you back at the table.
Here's the coaster for you. Back in business.
To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Okay, now I know we've talked about this before, but they still never know what to do, accepting it or not accepting an insufficient bid. And I know this isn't the rule they're asking about, but what they're asking about is, how do you decide?
I would say the answer is no, don't accept it, unless for some reason you can think of it giving you an advantage. And then you should accept it if you can think of a reason that it gives you an advantage to accept it. So normal answer, no. The reasons where it might give you an advantage to accept it is if you can bid at a lower level than you would have had to if you hadn't accepted it. For instance, let's say you've got quite a few clubs and you want to big clubs and your partner opens one heart and the next hand over calls one diamond. Well, you might be quite happy to bid two clubs. But if you say, no, I don't want to accept that, and they bid two diamonds, you might not be so happy to bid three clubs, right? Yeah. So that's if you get that advantage of bidding at a lower level than you would have had to otherwise, and you want to take advantage of that, then that's a reason to accept it. And the other reason to accept it, perhaps, is if the opponents are in trouble and you don't think that they would bid more if you didn't accept it. For instance, it goes one heart from you and four hearts from your partner, and the next hand bids four diamonds, and you're looking at king, queen, jack, x of diamonds, and you think, I can penalise diamonds quite a lot. But well, if you don't accept it, probably not going to bid five diamonds when you're looking at such good diamonds. So you might want to accept it and then double for Bentleys. Because if you say, no, I don't want to accept it, well, they might bid five diamonds if you're very, very lucky. Probably they're not going to. And then there are lead penalties, but you no longer get the chance to double them in diamonds, do you?
Mm.
So the answer is, don't accept it unless you can think of a reason why you want to.
Picture the scene, Mariana. It goes one heart, four hearts, four diamonds. And then Patrick says, I'll accept the four diamond bids. And they all think, what a nice guy that Patrick is. And then he says, double.
Yeah.
There's a situation I had once with written bidding where I asked the question, you see the auction go one no trump, six no trumps, and you're on lead. So he goes, one no trump, pass, six no trumps, pass, pass to you. And you're on lead with ace, king of a suit. And I said, how do you get a minus score? And it sounds impossible, doesn't it? But the auction at one table I had once went, one no trump, pass, six no trumps, pass, pass, double. And with the written bidding, someone had written six no trumps. Well, I guess it might have been that the partner didn't have very good eyesight because they looked at that and thought they'd gone one no trump, pass, two no trumps. And the partner had two no trumps. So they came in with three diamonds over six no trumps doubled. And the person who opened one no trump was delighted to accept three diamonds and double it.
You got to pay attention, don't you?
Well, yes. And that's the thing. Paying attention is important in terms of when you're allowed to attract an inadvertent bid. If you make a bad bid because you haven't been paying attention, you shouldn't be allowed to retract it. There's a rule about unintended calls, and it's really only for when you've reached for one thing and you wind up making another bid by accident. If you make a wrong bid because you weren't paying attention, for instance, let's say it goes one diamond pass, one spade to you, and you overcall two diamonds because you weren't paying attention and you didn't notice the one diamond opener. That's right. Not the reason you should be given an unintended call, because it's your own fault for not paying attention and not seeing the one diamond. The time you would be allowed to change your call is if you only had one diamond and you meant to overcall hearts or something like that, and you grabbed the wrong card. So yes, paying attention, surprisingly, is a worthwhile thing to do.
Okay, and just remember, if you're playing against Patrick and he accepts your insufficient bid, that's not because he's a nice guy.
No, I'll try to do the best thing, but from my point of view.
Indeed.
That's what the game's all about.
Yeah, true. Yep. That is.
Okay, thank you, Patrick.
Alrighty then.
Okay.
Thanks so much for that, Bailiff.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
Now, did you read my text that I sent you last week for the match committee?
I'm bound to have. What did you say?
I was saying for the match committee of Hamilton that maybe they should entertain the notion of hosting a mixed pairs teams event. What do you reckon?
I wonder where they would go. I mean, there certainly seemed to be a lot of mixed pairs around. By the way, there was one more pair that I didn't mention that I know that reminded me that were playing, and that was Michael Johnston and Paula Gregory, who are also playing in the mixed trials. They were at Totoro.
Okay. People are travelling around, aren't they?
They are. And a lot of them heading off to the Gold Coast. There's people everywhere.
So when does the Gold Coast start? It starts
this weekend coming. Saturday or Sunday. I'm not sure. We're not actually going over till the Monday. We're just going to play the teams.
Right. Okay. So if you're not going over until Monday, we're going to have to find some time to actually do some recording.
Well, it might have to be perhaps sort of late-ish on Monday, on Tuesday. It'll also have to be late-ish. But you're always up all night, just like I am. The Bridge Zone never sleeps.
Hey, tell me, any funny director calls happen over the weekend? Did you call the director to the table at all?
One of their table called because there was such a racket going on at the next table. You could hardly hear yourself think.
That's a bit touchy, isn't it?
Oh, well, you know, it's when you've got difficult decisions to make and there's a lot of racket going on, it is difficult.
Yep.
I mean, that director just handled it. It was Carolyn, and she went over there, and Carolyn Wiggins went over there, and things quietened down a bit after that. She handled it very well.
Oh, that's good. And do you have a favourite board?
Well, there wouldn't be any from today.
I was just going to say, exclude today. Try and pick up one from when you were on the magical carpet ride.
Oh, well, when we were on the magical carpet ride, nothing went wrong.
I can't believe that. Maybe you didn't wear your socks on the right feet.
Well, these were our VP scores, 20, 19, 17, 18, 14.
Right. And today?
Today, you don't even want to know. It was 1, 3, and 6. So I'll be interested to see what Adam Parrish makes of that.
Yeah.
Maybe I needed some drugs or something.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you one thing. Can you give me a tip? You got to know when to hold up, know when
to fold up, know when to walk away, know when to My run. Tip is don't get complacent. Just because things are going well, that doesn't mean that the game isn't going around and kick you up the backside.
Oh, dear.
Maybe my tip should be, if things are going really well, take a cushion in case you get a kick up the backside. There's bound to be one coming real soon.
Isn't it funny that things turn around just
no,
like
it's
that?
Not. No, it's not funny.
Well, I suppose you better get over it rather quickly because you're going off to Gold Coast next week. Well,
there's a week to go and we're off next Monday, so looking forward to that. The last Gold Coast Congress, who would have believed it? I think it's the 63rd one.
Wow. Can you get a photo? Get a photo so that we can ask Mr. Secretary to post it up and say, here you go, at the very last one.
So it is. It's the 63rd Gold Coast Congress. So obviously the first one, what does that mean? The first one was held in 1962.
I wasn't even born then.
Well, I don't know whether I want to broadcast this, but 62 was that was the year.
Anyway,
you're still not going to take a last minute dash over the Tasman to play in the Gold Coast Congress?
No.
What about Melbourne? They really want you in Melbourne.
Well, actually, I'm thinking about Melbourne. Well, tell you what, we went and saw Luke Combs on the Friday at Eden Park. Fabulous concert. Even if you weren't a country fan, you would have loved it. He's now played in Brisbane. He then goes to Sydney and then he goes to Melbourne. I said to Andrew today, because we dropped the kids back up to the airport, I wonder what the dates of Luke Combs are in Melbourne. Would you like to go and see him again? He said, yeah, I could go and see him again. So I'm looking at that. I don't know what the dates are. I brought a T-shirt, so I need to go and have a look at that. I don't know whether they're close, but if they're close to the date, I reckon I'll be able to get there. But guess what? I'll need a partner.
But anyway, so Philip Young is their contact over there and telling you to squeeze it in. Did you see the email? And Mariana, squeeze in the event. Come on.
They're still taking lots of entries.
They're up to 99 entries. Apparently many of the 20 or so that recently entered were listening to our podcast. Must have jogged their memories.
Oh, look, he's in Melbourne on the 7th and the 8th of February. Oh, well.
I tell you what, Philip, if you're listening to this, you should see this look. Her eyes are flashing. There's smoke coming out of her ears. She really wants to go. The MCG, you're never going to get asked to play cricket at the MCG, but she might get a hand of bridge.
My sister-in-law and her husband, they're actually taking a tour of the MCG when they're over there to watch the Grand Prix.
I've got a question for you. If you did make it the MCG, one way or another, would you rather bat or bowl?
I'll probably bowl.
I tell you what, I'd get out of the way pretty bloody quick if I saw you coming in with a cricket ball.
I might be like that fella that chucks it, you know. He was like a smidgy away from being a throw instead of a bowl.
Yeah. If I was batting and you were bowling, I reckon it'd be a bouncer for sure.
Let me know. If you're thinking about going across to Melbourne, let me know. If you haven't got a partner, that could be even better. bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
The dates for that again?
It's only one day. It's the 1st of March.
The 1st of March.
I do have 3 first cousins that live in Melbourne. So I know really? Accommodation wouldn't be a problem. Let us know. Any famous last words, Barry?
I've told you what the famous last words are. Don't get complacent. You'll just get kicked in the backside.
Oh, look, did you have the right pen today?
I don't care what pen I have. It makes no difference to me.
Well, that's all right then. Did you sit the right way?
Jenny's different. She likes to have the same pen.
She does? And do you sit the same way or you don't care?
Really? Usually, if we're north-south, I sit south because Jenny writes in the book, because if I wrote the book, it looks like a spider's crawled across it and you'd be flat reading it.
Yeah.
So I operate the bridge mate. She writes the scores in.
Awesome.
It's always a bit scary if she leaves the table when I'm declarer and she hasn't got back when I'm finished. And I think, ooh, will I write the score in the book while she's there, or will I not risk it?
No. So it'll be nice and neat. And after you've finished, she'll probably end up whacking you on the head with it, which I bet you has been done.
Are you talking about in general or just my head?
No, just your head. Yeah. So next week, he'll be coming from the Gold Coast. I don't know the numbers of the contingent that's going across this year, but I got my first bottle of Plonk last year. It's one of my little prizes. Gold Coast. Yep.
I know I really, really shouldn't ask this, but have you still got it?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? You haven't drunk it yet? My goodness.
It's in the rack.
Very restrained of you.
I've got my flash pen still from there. That was very good.
That's good because you're never going to get another one.
I know. What day do the teams start?
What's today? Today's the 27th. They must be starting on the Tuesday of next week. So that'll be the 4th. 4th of February.
All right. So I'm playing with Richard Stewart at Waitangi up in Auckland. Waitangi Day. That should be good.
I heard a rumour.
What's that?
Like, if I just tell you, nobody's going to hear, are they? You know, you won't broadcast this, will you?
Of course I will. What is it?
Well, it's for all the online bridge players. Apparently, I think there's a chance that there will be a couple more online tournaments. Like I think something like they ran last year for fundraisers for the international teams. So there might be a couple more online tournaments for all you people who are feeling a bit sad that there's not any online bridge this year. You might get just a little taster at some stage.
Oh, goodness. I wonder if we apply for an event, just apply for it and say that a portion of the entry fees, we're happy to give it for the international fund, say what, 5%, and we'd donate it to Inter. Do you think that would get them to say, yes, hold it?
Don't think so. I don't think it's going to work.
Oh, so it's not all about dollars.
It'll be.
Let's learn about Michael Cupid.
G'day, it's Pete here, and today I wanted to do an introduction to Michael's Cupid. I wanted to look at what is Michael's Cupid, who gets to use it, how strong do you have to be with that, and I'll give you the short answer and the long answer for that, and how you actually are meant to respond to it. So first of all, what is Michael's Cupid? This is a convention that you can play to show 2 5-card suits. So it's a great way of showing distributional hands. The way that it works is basically you bid the opponent's suit. So if it went 1 club by the opponent's and you bid 2 clubs, this would be an example of Michael's Cupid. But who actually gets to do this? Michael's Cupid is a very specific spot that you can actually do this. There's lots of different meanings for when you bid the opponent's suit of what that actually shows. So for Michael's Cupid, what you're actually showing is 2 5-card suits, but the only person that can do it is the overcaller. And it has to be the first bid for your partnership. So excluding passes, if you're the overcalling side and neither you or your partner have bid anything, that's when you can do a Michael's Cupid. 1 club, 2 clubs would be a Michael's Cupid. But similarly, if it went pass and you then bid 2 clubs here, this would be a Michael's Cupid as well. When you're bidding the opponent's suit, and it's the first for your side, excluding passes, it's a Michael's Cupid. But if we backtrack and do something like double here and then bid 2 clubs, this isn't a Michael's Cupid. We've done something other than a pass. Or if we've overcalled and now we bid 2 clubs, this one isn't. Our partner's bid a heart here. So bidding the opponent's suit is very nuanced about what it is. And Michael's Cupid is one of the many options. And it's a very specific spot. It's you're the overcaller. You or your partner have done nothing but pass. If there's anything else, it's off. And it's on your first bid. Also, we can only do it as the overcaller. If our partner opened a club and the opponent's overcalled 1 heart and we bid 2 hearts, again, this isn't a Michael's Cupid because the person who bid 2 hearts isn't the overcaller here. So very specific spot. What does it actually show? So it shows 2 5-card suits, and it usually shows as many majors as possible. Here, when it goes one club and you bid 2 clubs, the opponents have bid clubs. Both of the majors are unbid. It would show 5 hearts and 5 spades. If we go back and we open 1 diamond and then you bid 2 diamonds, another example of a Michael's Q bid here, this would still show 2 5-card majors. Then if we go back and then bid 1 heart, now there's only 1 unbid major. So if we bid 2 hearts here, this would show spades, the other major, and either of the minors. You can use it with 5 spades and 5 clubs or 5 spades and 5 diamonds. And if we backtrack and then bid 2 spades, this would show 5 hearts and 5 of either minor. 5 hearts and 5 diamonds, 5 hearts and 5 clubs. It can be either. There's also another convention that runs alongside Michael's Q-bid, which sort of works in junction, which is unusual 2 no-trumps. Again, it fits into all the same criteria. You can only use it if you're the first side to bid anything other than pass, and it's only used by the overcalling side. But if you jump to 2 no-trumps, this is unusual 2 no-trumps. And what this shows is 2 5-card suits, but the 2 lowest unbid suits. So this one would show 5 clubs and 5 diamonds, whereas if we backtrack and bid 1 club and then bid 2 no-trumps, this one here, the 2 lowest unbid suits, would be diamonds and hearts. So 5 hearts, 5 diamonds. And if you bid over 1 heart, this would be both minors, but over 1 diamond, this would be 5 clubs and 5 hearts. So the unusual 2 no-trumps is the 2 lowest unbid suits. And the Michael's Q bid is as many majors as possible. And I think of Michael's for majors and unusual for minors.
Thanks, Pete. We'll have the rest of the clip for you next week.
Is there any bridge coming up this weekend? Looks like the New Plymouth Picnic 8B pairs. Or the Waitangi Day coming up next week. And, of course, the Auckland Waitangi 8B.
Yeah.
And nothing much this weekend by the looks of it.
No.
Everybody's flying off to the Gold Coast, except Mariana, who's going to stay home, cleaning, cooking, doing housework.
Actually, everyone's left, which is great. Now we can get our house back to normal instead of having bags and laundry and kids' toys and everything. Goodness me. That's great to have them, and it's also great to see them go home. Okay, well, that's it from us, folks. Thanks for listening. All the best if you're going to the Gold Coast. I'll be watching the scores.
Till you hear from me next, by which stage I should be ensconced at Broadbeach with all the goss from the Gold Coast Congress.
Nice. And
see you then.
Bye-bye.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.